Take your Bible and turn with me, if you will, to, first of all, I want to turn to Romans chapter 8. Just find that place, because we're going to end up there for a little bit tonight, but we're going to go a little bit further. Father, again, we open this precious book. Lord, we thank you so much that we're able to read it. You give us the ability to understand. Lord, we can reason. We can also look at information and make decisions about it. And Father, I pray tonight you'd help this be a place that where our hearts would be touched, our souls would be fed, we'd grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And God, give us something. Go in that world that we don't go with an arrogant attitude. God, pity a Christian who's got an arrogant attitude, but a loving attitude, because we have knowledge that God has given us, and people have access to that same knowledge, but those who refuse that knowledge won't have the same stand where we are. So we'll be divided. That's automatically. Because when one believes one thing and somebody else believes something else, then those two are not going to agree on those things at all. But we thank you to understand where our knowledge comes from. We're not bragging. We're just thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we've been talking a few weeks before the camp meeting. We were dealing with problems in troubled times. And now I want to move away from that, even though this is part of that. I want to move away from that. And for the purpose of why these things happen. When you and I, what is it makes us different than anything else in God's creation? We're talking about humanity as a whole. That which makes us different, and I said this before and I've said again, we're made in the image of God. And though I'm born 6,000 years later through procreation, every child that's born into this world through procreation since Adam's day is born physically in the image of God. When we see a physical baby, there is an image of God that's there, more so than just flesh, but even when Jesus came, he was in flesh. Everything about a baby, everything about a human being has to do with this image of God. Now, we have the ability to learn. We can analyze. We can listen to information and decide whether it's truth or not truth. You know that? Now, if we can listen to information and have the ability to decide which is truth and not truth, then we're going to have to understand what truth is. Because you can have a lot of error, but you can only have one truth about anything. Where do we get our truth at? If you look with me look with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Hold your finger right there in Romans 8. We're coming back to that in a few minutes. Look with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and read a verse of Scripture in just a minute. We're talking about truth. How am I going to know in all of this mess of humanity, with all the voices out there and with all the people on the face of the earth from every type of culture in the world, how am I, Ennis, little old peon here in Johnston County, born, raised here, how am I going to know what truth is? Well, somebody's got to know what truth is, isn't it? Don't they? Amen. Who are we going to turn to find out what truth is? Well, we know this. The Bible teaches us that Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We know that let God be true and every man a liar. We know the Bible teaches us that all truth begins with the true God. Not just God. Because a lot of people make themselves gods or believe in gods that they give power to. But truth all truth begins with the true God. So God does not change. Therefore, truth does not change. Are you getting this? Get it now. You're going to start out. We're talking about truth. We're talking about the mind. We come into the mind. Everything's filtrated through our mind. So I've got to find out if there is truth, where it comes from, who am I going to trust? One thing's for sure, I'm not going to trust Muhammad. He don't have the credentials that Jesus Christ and God has. Allah don't have the credentials Jehovah God has in this Bible. I'm sorry if people don't understand that. But I'm telling you, when it comes to, I've got to find out where truth's at. Other religions that are made by cultures of men, which are many times not as old as Christianity is, even though Judaism is, all of those religions made man say they have the truth. But where did it come from? Where did it originate from? Look with me in 2 Thessalonians what Paul says of this church in chapter 2, verse 10. He says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Notice in verse 7, he said, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. This deceivableness of unrighteousness, notice, in them that perish. What's the next line, though? Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Why are they perishing? Because they receive not the love of the truth, God says through Paul, that they might be saved. What is the difference in these people and you and I? When we heard the message of the love of truth, we accepted it. And God did what he said he'd do. He saved our soul. He gave us a new spirit, a new creation, and the Holy Spirit came in. So what's the difference is? We just simply believe the truth that God said, who is truth? So you can't prove that. Well, it sounds better truth to me than what we do here. Sounds much better to me than what's going on in the religious world today. And he says they don't. And the reason they don't, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. The love of the truth. What is the love of the truth? The love of the truth comes from God, who is love, letting people know, listen, I want you to know, I know where you're at. I know why you did what you did. I know you're descendants of Adam. I know you're under the condemnation of sin. I have pronounced a curse on sin. I know that. But I want you to know the love of the truth is it's not all that you're doomed because you can make a choice to believe the truth. You can believe the truth. I thought this afternoon while studying this, what's an easy way I could tell that? I mean, they can hear. They can listen to what we hear. And some say, whoa, I'm not going to believe that. Some of us said that to start with, but we listen and we listen and we listen, and eventually the Holy Spirit brought the truth to reality to our heart that we were hearing truth. Somebody else says, no. Let's suppose I had not never been to Clayton before. And I'd come over here and see somebody, and I'd say, look, I need to leave from here and go to Clayton. Can you tell me how to get there? I don't have a map anyway. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you how to do that. I'll tell you what you need to do. You go out here, this street called Atkinson Street. You take a right, and you go right around down a little ways, and you come to a curve. It's a 90-degree turn. Come to the left. Then you come to Moore Street, and then you take a right, and then you come down to a stoplight at 70 Highway. And when you get to the stoplight, you take a right and just stay on that road, and you'll come to Raleigh. Now, would that be an accurate information? Would that not be a true statement? Would anybody go wrong about going to Raleigh if they followed that instructions? Now, you may have a better way, but that's the way I'd tell them to go, and they'd go. When it comes to salvation, only one way. But there's a lot of ways to get to Raleigh from here. I understand that. You say, well, preacher, that's a long way. Why don't you just send them out here 70, let them go 70 and go straight into Raleigh? Well, they'd had to went through Garner and... You say, but they've been on four-lane highways. It'd be much easier to go this way. Okay, so what I say, yeah, that's fine, but yeah, I don't know if I trust that guy or not. And I pull out on Main Street, I pull out on National Street, and I say, well, I'll turn to the right. And I get down and say, well, there's a 90-degree. I turn there, turn back to the right, and I get down and stop, and I get down to the highway. That's a major highway. And I say, I don't know whether that's the truth or not. You know, it don't seem right to turn to the right. It just seemed like I'd turn to the left, I'd be better off. I began to rationalize truth, trying to formulate my mind, and the more I talk about what I want to do because I have doubt, the more I want to change what I was told. And so I don't know if I believe it or not. I never met that before. He may send me on a wild goose chase. And I say, I'm not turning to the right here. I did everything else. All right, but this is a major highway. It looks to me like, I don't see no sign, looks to me like I'd be better off going east instead of west. And I go east. Where am I going to end up at? In Raleigh? Yeah, the ocean. Sooner or later. I couldn't go no further. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, listen, I asked for facts, I got the truth, but on the process, I began to doubt the person who gave me the truth. Was he dependable? I didn't know the person that well. And I made a decision based on facts that I thought was right. But I'll never get to Raleigh headed east. Amen? And the same way when it comes to God. He has the facts. He don't change the facts. He is truth. It doesn't change. I don't care if he's 50 million years old, it'll never change. It don't have to change. Truth don't have to be changed because truth is always be truth. And so they hear the message. And when I get it, I'm getting something. Because we're going to talk about the Bible. And the Bible is the enemy, tells us the enemy of the mind because of sin. And here's where everything comes from. You got saved because you heard or read or something that gave you knowledge about Jesus Christ and gave you knowledge about God. And in the process, something brought a conviction to you, and you finally had to say, yes, I believe that, and follow the scriptures for God to do what he said he'd do. You know, that don't make sense. In 1 Corinthians 2 tells us about it. It just seems it don't make sense. Preaching the gospel is foolishness to those who perish. If you make if you come to that point of knowledge and looking at truth of error, you have to decide what do you think is truth or error. Now, truth, God will reveal it because he is truth. Hear crying, we'll see Abba Father to our heart to those who really believe him. But at that moment when you're deciding who to believe, Satan is a powerful being in the flesh. He'll throw up a flag. Boy, he'll say, hey, all they're trying to do is get you in a spiritual straitjacket, trying to get you to put a lot of rules and regulations so you won't have no fun at all. He's got everything that's needed for the flesh. And ladies and gentlemen, when we're born in this world and we know nothing but the flesh, that's all we want to know. We don't want to take nothing away. We want to get more. And suddenly, we're faced with something like he was by Satan. What is God, you know, not showing me? If God is really real, why would he take this away from me? And he has to do with the flesh. We'll look at that. We're going to get into some of that the scripture talks about. Because, you see, we are, before we get saved, we're only carnal flesh with a depraved nature. We have no trouble what the world wants to do. If society approves something, we feel that's okay because within the laws. But when Jesus comes in, there's turmoil started. And now we have to be faced more so. Even when you and I are not saved, the only thing we had to deal mostly with is what would be good for neighbor work, good for living in a community somewhere or another, and what many things happen behind doors and so forth, just our own business. Didn't have any. The only morals we had is what society had. And years ago, they had more than they have now. They don't have anything now. Just about anything goes. But once you and I ask Christ to come into our heart, now we're faced with all of that stuff that we've got through the years. And if we got saved later in life, we brought a lot of garbage with us. We're just a lot of garbage with it. And what happens is suddenly we face with a new creation that has come in to our heart. And now there's a great battle going on. There is truth trying to merge itself in us, and yet we got all this other stuff. And truth will always go against what the flesh wants to do. Because God and truth are inseparable. Truth is always under attack by Satan and by his forces. And his gate is the eye gate, the ear gate, and the pride of life. This is where he gets to us. And that all has to do with the flesh. And so one of the things of forces Satan uses for us who are saved more than anything else is the flesh. And that's what we see Paul giving here in Romans 8 when he talks about the carnal person now. The person who is saved and yet has the carnal flesh dragging it around everywhere they go. It is impossible to define truth hear me, and I mean this, folks, it is impossible to find truth without reference to Almighty God. If we don't reference Him, we'll not have truth. Because what is truth to one generation may be changed to the next generation. Because they may say, I don't do it like that. I'm not going to do it like that. I'm going to do this for me. We arrive, every generation thinks they arrive further than the last generation. But with God, you don't have to change truth because truth don't need changing. It'll work in any generation. And then we find John 5:13. Turn with me there just a moment. Hold your, you might as well let it go. We'll come back there next week. Look in John 5:13. I love this. You've heard me use this before. I said it's impossible to find truth without reference to God. In verse 13, this is a tremendous statement. He said these things. Now, he's given a number of things here, but he says these things, notice, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, notice, this is knowledge. This written is knowledge that God has given to John to write for anyone who is a child of God. And he's telling us something. Now, the first thing I notice here, and you've heard me quote this many times, these things. No, these. What are these things? Watch what he says now. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Why? That ye may know that you have eternal life. Well, what is eternal life? It's the divine life of God that Peter talked about. It's God's life himself that he puts in us. It's eternal. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. These things are spiritual birthrights that identify the true believer in Christ. The evidence of salvation. These things are the evidence of salvation. These things is the summation of this whole book, 1 John. Go and read what he says about relationship with Jesus Christ, just that one book alone. And he said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. First of all, he's writing to those who believe, that believe on the name of the Son of God. Watch. He said, that ye may know that you have eternal life. You've trusted Christ. These things are written that you may analyze it and know you have eternal life. Then I like what he says, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. It does the same thing for those who are unsaved. If the Holy Spirit has given that gospel to a heart and they listen, then these things that said about the gospel will draw that person to the Lamb of God. But the drawing of the Scriptures, or even believing these things to know why we're saved, comes because we make a decision on information. That's what it is. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. It's what the Hebrew writer said in chapter 11. You remember that? Hebrews chapter 11. If you look over about verse, let's see. Verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. Speaking about God. He talked about Enoch, and he was translated. Verse 5. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I love that. When you come to him, you have to believe that he is. That's the beginning of acknowledge of truth. We believe that he is. And then God will reveal to us. Boy, he'll just make it so real. Ladies and gentlemen, there ain't no way in the world my mind would believe some of the stuff written in this book if it weren't for God's Spirit showing me the spiritual side of it. Say, hey, look at this. Study this. Renew your mind with this. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and accepted will of God. All goes right here. I'm laying a foundation to realize what goes on in this wonderful thing right here called the mind. And we say the brain. No, the brain functions the body. What comes here is a function of that which has to do with mental aspect. And you hear talk about mental, you know, the second world can't separate it. my mental ability to be just as great in heaven as it is here. Probably it's going to be greater. That brain and this body is going to dust when I die. It's a wonderful thing for this body. I thank God for it. Believe me, you see somebody have a stroke somewhere or another and see what happens to the brain. And this thing works, this mind works in such a way that God gives us the ability in his image to rationalize and analyze and make decisions based on knowledge. Everything I know about God is knowledge. I've never seen him, but I believe he's as real as I'm looking at you. Why? Knowledge. It's knowledge that God gives. He bears witness to our heart, we see in Romans 8, when we get there for that. So this verse summarizes the entire book. Now, a few more minutes. I'm not going to get to Romans 8 yet, because we're going to go back and look at that verse by verse to understand the mind and understand what God has said for us to learn. Some might say, well, you know, preachers think they know so much. No, we know very little. I guarantee you study this book, you'll find out you don't know as much as you think you know. But I'll tell you this, you'll know enough to keep you settled and straight. You'll know enough to be able to give an answer to someone if they listen. And you'll know enough if they don't listen, then I'm just not going to spend much time there unless they can prove to me from the script. This book can change my mind as much so as it can instruct me in life. So I think about this mind. That's one of the reasons why in our day, you look at the mega churches. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you something. In most of these seminars and churches and things you see, how much do you know that's been preached of this Bible that's based on what men in the past have preached? There's a new theology being preached today. There's a new thing. There's the praise and worship service. This is the feel-good gathering of the week replacing the Conley pep rally at the football game. I don't want you to tell me how to live, just tell me how to feel. And let me come in. I'll come in and have a little date with God, have a good time, go back in the world, and just live like I've always lived. No convicted at all. You know what convicts us? This book and the Spirit of God when it's preached, thus saith the Lord. You can't preach this book without warning people about sin. And then as you do that, you can preach and thank God for Calvary. Then be delivered from it. People want to cheer themselves to victory without ever getting in the game. God wants us to get in the game. God wants us to use the talents we have and be busy for the Lord. But most people want to come and cheer and not get in the game. I'm talking about what happens here. It all happens right here. Do you know the feel-good worship practice is the humanist attempts to feel good about ourselves no matter how we live in this life. I come to church and, boy, if I can just be raised to a level and feel good, that's great. Don't tell me how I should live, though. Don't tell me what I should be doing. I believe I have a right to own my own life. And I love that good feeling. Boy, thank God for that good feeling. On the other hand, when I get back in that world, don't be trying to tell me what. Keep your religion inside the church. Now let me ask you a question. If this Bible gives you biblical good feelings, I'll tell you, you'll learn something. And you'll find yourself shouting because they shout in heaven. You'll find yourself giving God glory and praise. But I'll tell you what it will do. It'll stir you instead of just going back and living like you always live. This Bible will change us because it's the absolute truth, Word of God. When I see what's happened today, churches have become the aspirin dealing with symptoms rather than the surgery that deals with the cause, and that's sin. What does sin do? Nothing, most people think. But sin's the cause of our problem. Why would Jesus die if the church is right today? Jesus didn't come here and die just for us to be feeling good. He didn't come here to die to make us all rich. If he did, he wouldn't have to die to make us rich. He owns it all to start with. I'd hate rather say to you, come to Christ, rather stand here and say, call money, call money, call money. And I've seen some people do that. God loves you so much you can call money to yourself. Folks, I can't find that in the Bible. Had I been doing that years ago. I won't have to pastor this church to call money to myself. That's all I got to do. Amen? Amen? But you see, I'm learning something, folks. I'm learning as God deals in my heart about the reality of who He is, who I am, and what we're supposed to be doing. I'm learning the world won't hear that. They're not going to hear it either unless they let God touch their heart and cause them to analyze truth to error and find scripturally what is going on at that time. People sugarcoat the aspirin with pseudo-worship to make us feel that we love God even though our lives contradict this. You look to a person. Give me an illustration. I heard a fellow recently on television. You might want to call his name. I could, but I won't. Maybe I should. I won't. But here's what he said before he did his thing. He said, I want you to know tonight that before I do my thing, I believe in God. And I want to honor God tonight because He's the reason I'm here and He's the reason I have what I have. But I got to listen. I said, man, this sounds great. This sounds great. I give Him credit for everything. Maybe you saw it. Everything. And he said, now I've got that out of the way. You're going to hear a little cussing tonight. And boy, first thing he started out, and I just, I love to do that. How you tell me, folks. And there was thousands of people there listening to this thing. And here they say, well, isn't that great? He give God credit. Folks, God don't work that way. You can't pray, say, I give God credit for everything, turn around, start cussing, using His name in vain. He says, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. Now, what's the difference, truth? He's convinced of error that God doesn't mean what He says because God is not who this Bible says He is. And that's what makes the difference for you and I who hear truth. Because the Holy Spirit of God will begin to make us as we study. And you know what truth does? It's like Jeremiah of old. It gets in you. You can't explain it. It gets in you. You heard me say, I used to get so discouraged. I'd preach my heart out and get discouraged and go home and tell Barbara, and she knows it. I'd say, you know, honey, I think I need to quit. I'm not doing anything much. I can't see much sign. And she said, well, do what the Lord leads you to do. Amen. Best advice I can get. She didn't tell me a lie. And you know what? About the next day, study. The next night, study. Someone would call me and I had to counsel someone. I had to go to the scripture, find the scripture. And within just a few hours, all of a sudden, there's something in my bones I can't explain. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, I wouldn't want to, but I could get up here and teach what I'm teaching, that these pews are empty, as much so as anybody here, because it's in my bones. But I'm glad you're here tonight. Amen. I'd have a lot shorter message, probably. But I think this is a great study. God, please help us understand what's going on right here. And this controls everything. And Lord, I'm going to take it slow, but I pray it'll be that which would be grasped in a way that God's people will learn something about ourselves. And then what we do, we look at the world and say, Lord, help us pray right. The world won't understand what we're saying because it looks like we're condemning. Look, we have no right to condemn nobody. If there's people who are preaching error and people think it's truth and they send billions of dollars to them, hey, everything for their own. But what I want us to see that God's word is not complicated as much as we seem to make it. God helps us. And I think if I can understand it a little better, then He'll assure me and assure us about what we're doing. Lord, this book is food for our soul. I want to know anything about heaven want for this book. I want to know anything about Jesus Christ. God's documented. There's a lot we don't know want for this book. My Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the years. You started me when I came along when people didn't have enough but the King James Bible. I thank you I cut my teeth on this. And I thank you for the day. I believe it's everything in here is to exalt Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. God said one day, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And I go through the Gospels and I see not much today been preached about him like the Gospels manifest. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to pay the sin debt. He came to be our Passover. He came to fulfill the Old Testament prophecies. That's why it is, I believe, this book. And it reveals to us in truth and knowledge and gives us the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of knowledge. Please help us next few weeks to draw close to you. Lord, give us a vision about what we need to be doing in these last days, because I believe you'll soon be coming for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.